Amen, amen. If you would, just bow your heads for a quick second. Lord, how we love you, how we thank you, how we bless you. Lord, thank you for just the ability to worship you this morning, the heart desire to lift you up, to celebrate you, to honor you, to praise you, Lord. So many other things vying for our attention, Lord, but thank you for the opportunity to pause and say, thank you, Lord, for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. We couldn't save ourselves. For by grace are we saved through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. So we thank you, Lord, for doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Thank you for your word this morning. Speak to us through your word. So we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen world. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord. Tells us how to act, how to speak, how to talk, how to walk, what to say, what not to say. Let us be obedient to your word. We love you, Lord, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 16. We'll pick it up at 30, verse 31. John 16 and 31. So we start off with the question. So this is Sunday morning. February 26th, the last Sunday in February, somebody say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us. So we get ready to touch the third month of the year. So we just finished praise and worship and fellowship and prayer. And Jesus asked a question, verse 31, which I'm going to ask you. He says, do you now believe? When you translate that word believe, it says, do you now, today, right now, at this moment, do you trust me? After all that Yahweh forever and always the same, he said, now do you trust me? Or were you just singing to make noise? It's the rubber meets the road. We're going to walk out of here. We walked in here with stuff. We're going to walk out of here right back into it. But God is saying, right now, do you trust me? After all that worship, me touching your heart, you feeling the presence of God, do you trust me now? We go home. We could go home right now, and you can think about that all day. Because regardless of whatever the word tells you, if you don't trust, if you don't commit, surrender, and believe in God right now, then what is all this for? If we can't practice what we believe when times are good, when times are tough, then what is all this for? God says, now do you trust me? And I can't make you trust God. You can't make me trust God. That's between me and God, you and God. But Jesus is putting it out there. And look, he says, do you trust me now? Underline now, because now in the Greek means this moment. That's all we have is this moment. I can't get into next year. Well, what's going to happen next year? And what's going to happen? What happened in the past? What's going to happen right now? This moment. Do you trust me? God says, stop making excuses. God says, if so, will you live like you trust me? What does Verizon say? Can you hear me now? Jesus saying, do you trust me now? How much more convincing does God have to do? Do you trust me? Then he says, behold, the hour comes. Last week we talked about if we're in the last hour, we know everything happens at midnight, so to speak. If we're in the last hour, how close is it? Is it 11 o'clock or is it 11:59? For Jesus, this is right before he was arrested and killed. For Jesus, it was 11:59. For you and I, we don't know. We don't know what hour we're in. We remember we talked about going up and going down. when you reach the peak, when you're on the other side. For those of us that are over 50, I would think maybe we're on the other side. We might get 100, 100, 200. We might. But we're probably somewhere. But is it 11 or is it 11:59? Is it, how close is it to our time? We have to start trusting God now. We have to start living like we trust God now. So here we go. Verse 32. Behold, the hour cometh. Yes, it has come now. It is Jesus saying for me, it's 11:59. I'm getting ready to be betrayed, arrested and killed. And he says, and you're going to be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, but he says, and yet I'm not alone. Make sure you underline that if you didn't last week. He says, but I'm not alone because the Father is with me. Make sure you understand that, family, we are not alone. That word alone in the Greek is abandoned, destitute, and forsaken. You are not abandoned. You are not forsaken. You are not destitute. I don't care what the world is saying. I don't care what your circumstances, your situations are saying. You're not alone. I'm not alone. We're not alone. Even though everybody might leave you, and you and I were not alone. Jesus said, y'all going to scatter. Y'all going to shake the spot. Y'all going to go here and there. But I'm not alone. I'm not forsaken. I'm not destitute. I'm not abandoned. Although it feels like it, I'm not, because the Father is with me. Do you trust me now? Do you trust that the Father is with you as you're going through? And family, sometimes we have the opportunity to go through with others. But then there's that journey when we got to go alone. But nobody can come with us. When I'm the one that's sick, and I'm the one that has to have surgery. They say the only time it's minor surgery is when it's somebody else's. It's the only time it's minor. When it's yours and it's mine, and we got to go through, and nobody can go through, and we got to know that God is with us. And sometimes people can't come with you. Sometimes we got to journey alone. But we know that we're not alone. Family, we have to believe this. We have to trust God, for there's so much going on today. So many deceptions out there. So many things vying for our attention. So many things trying to replace God. Jesus saying, I have to be priority. I have to be top of the list. Our faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tried. How do we know? Because of verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me, underlined in Christ, in me, you might have peace. Not in the world, but in God, we will have peace. And remember, it's not just the peace that passes all understanding, and not just the peace of God, which is great, but also peace with God. When we're not at odds with God, we're not an enemy to God. That's good news. To have peace with God. Ask that to you. Ask your coworker that tomorrow at work. Ask some of the kids at school. Some of the other students. Hey, do you have peace with God? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's deep. What do you mean? Do you have peace? Are you and God at peace? Can you sit, be still, be quiet, chill, and listen to God? And it talks about quiet, and it talks about rest. Are you resting in God? Can you rest in God? I don't even know God. I don't even know who God is or what God is. Let me talk to you about someone I know named Jesus Christ. Because it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And yes, we can have peace with God. But it gets better. He says, in the world you shall have tribulation, underline tribulation. Tribulation, he said, that's why we know we got to go through some stuff alone. That's why we know it's going to be tough. Tribulation in the Greek, pressure, anguish, trouble, oppression. It's not a popular message. I didn't think I'd get too many amens with that. But this is just what the word says. It's not a pie in the sky gospel. It's not you get saved and all your problems go away. So you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have pressure. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have oppression. You're going to have some anguish. There's going to be some times you have anguish. Amen. Amen. Any of us with kids? Anybody ever seen a kid? It's going to some nights you're going to have anguish. What is my kid doing? Where are they at? What's going? You're going to have that. It's just no way around it. But be of good cheer. Be strong and be courageous. Jesus says, I have overcome. I've conquered the world. Amen. Anything that you've gone through, anything that you go through, I've already conquered. Amen. That's good news. Amen. Jesus says, Brother Jerry, whatever we go through, whatever we deal with, he's already conquered it. Amen. He said, matter of fact, even when it gets to the point and you die, I've already conquered death and I resurrected on that third day. So you ain't even got to worry about that. You ain't even got to worry about that. The only one to live, die, go to heaven, tell us what it's like, and tell us how to get there. So when you die, you ain't even got to worry about that. I've even overcome that. Do you trust me now? So what are you stressed out about? What are you worried about? Say, look, be of good cheer. You're going to go through some stuff, but don't worry about it. I've already conquered it. It's nothing you can go through that Jesus Christ hasn't conquered. That's the true and living God. That's the Savior. That's God's job. Sometimes we try and do God's job and we get in the way. That's why he asked the question, do you trust me now? Let me work out the details. Step to the side. Get out the way. Remember last time I let you handle it and look where it got us. So then here we go. We get ready to shift. I got some notes right here. No. Okay. The peace with God. Let me touch on the peace with God, right? So how do you know if you have peace with God? You have no tension and you have no issues with God. There is no one I secretly hate. Right. I got it all together right here. Praise the Lord. But I tell you, I hate somebody. Okay. And what we used to say as kids, I hate your guts. Now, you really hated somebody then. When you got to the point, man, I don't like you. But when you told somebody I hate your guts, oh, you really hated them. So make sure we're not secretly hating or someone we haven't forgiven. Someone who I'll never forgive. That's not peace with God. Because God's forgiven us. And so I have to forgive them if I'm going to have peace with God. Because God already said, you can't even come to me if you haven't forgiven others. You can't even expect me to forgive you if you can't forgive others. And so our peace is in God, not in stuff, not in money, not in politics or your political party. We already know you can't legislate peace. Peace comes from God and allows us to have peace with God. Amen. All right. So here we have the shift. I love this. Look at verse chapter 17. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, so now Jesus prays for himself. So notice the motto, family. It's okay to pray for ourselves. And he's in front of his disciples. He lifts up his hands. It's a posture of prayer. He prays for himself. Remember, it's not about the show. The Pharisees did the show. Jesus is praying heart to heart. These words spoke Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. It is 11:59. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify you. Okay. Remember, we had our math. So we were doing math last week and we realized that 1 + 1 + 1 equals 1. All right. That's it. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. 1 + 1 + 1 equals 1. So Jesus is saying that he and God are inseparable. The world wants God without Jesus. It's not going to happen that way. Just give me God. I don't want to be convicted of anything. I don't want to have a standard about anything. I don't want to have to trust. I want to trust myself and have God and feel good about everything that Jesus said. No, it's not going to happen like that. The word glorify means to honor, means to make known, to make excellent, praise, extol, magnify, and celebrate. So Jesus is saying, Father, my hour has come. Celebrate me so that I also may celebrate you. Honor me that I may also honor you. When Jesus is honored, God is honored. When you celebrate Jesus, you celebrate God. When you celebrate God, you celebrate Jesus. When you magnify God, you magnify Jesus. They are inseparable. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Verse 2, and you have given me the authority over all flesh. Make a note of that. That word power right there means authority. So we have, Jesus has power over all flesh. Make a note, ladies and gentlemen, there's no temptation stronger than the power of God. Jesus has power. If we have Christ in us, then there's no temptation I can face that's stronger than God. So although I might choose to sin, I don't have to sin. Right? And if when I use just a little bit of common sense, it prevents me from committing sin. Certain places I don't need to go, certain things I don't need to watch, certain conversations I don't need to entertain. And when it gets just really tough, then I know, God, I have the power. Since you have power over all flesh, you have power over my flesh. So I don't have to go out and do anything that I don't want to do. James said we get carried away with our lust. So it's not really God. It's not even the devil tempting me. It's just, yeah, I want to do it. Hey, I've been living right for a long time. I need to have a little fun now. What, Sister Tara, you don't think so? That's the conversation. That's how the enemy starts the conversation. That's how an enemy starts the conversation. Right. Need to loosen up a little bit. You're way too uptight with this Jesus stuff. But Jesus said, I got power over all flesh, including yours. If you allow me to. I'm not going to take the wheel unless you move over to the passenger seat. So, but he has power over all flesh. Because God has given it to him. That he should give eternal life. And look, it gets so deep. He gives eternal life to as many as thou has given him. So it goes all the way from controlling ourselves to eternity with God. Eternity meant without beginning, without end. So when we transition to paradise, to heaven, it's just without beginning. When did this start? I don't know. When does it end? It don't. When it's just there. With God. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they may know, underline know, to be sure. Now do you believe? And this is, look, Jesus is praying to God. This is his prayer to God in front of the disciples. He's saying, you've given me authority. Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know. All the ones that are watching, that they may know, that they may be sure. The only true that you are the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. He's speaking even in the third person about himself. Then it gets even deeper. Look at verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have glorified thee on the earth. Make a note of that. And then right back in verse 3, make a note of this, that they may know. Okay? Know means to be sure. I said that, right? Make sure you know God. There's a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. All right? There's a difference. There's a difference. Let's see. I know about who's a basketball player? Who's I know about Steph Curry. Yeah, Chuck Nemitz. Yeah, he got cut like 10 times. I know about Steph Curry, but I don't know Steph Curry. It's a difference. You could say, well, I know about God, but do you know God? A lot of people know about God, but they don't know God. And that's why Jesus said, going to say, Lord, Lord, he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew. I didn't know you. Make sure you make sure that they may know. Family, you got to make sure. That's why we spend time with God every day. So we just don't know about, but we know. It's not a religious thing for us. It's a relationship thing. I want to get to know. That's with any relationship. You want to get to know somebody, you have to spend time with them. If you're not spending with God, you might know about God, but you don't really know God. If you're not spending time in the Word, you might know about the Word, but you don't know the Word. And so you can't claim that I know God. No, you know about God. It's a big difference. Then Jesus, two things in verse 4. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. Pause right there. I have celebrated, I have honored you on earth. Not when I get to heaven. Yes, we're going to be worshiping God in heaven. But Jesus is saying right here. Family, make a note. So the question, have we celebrated God here on earth? Have we? Have we honored him here on earth? You know, it's in us. It's innate. It's born in us to celebrate something. You celebrate something. You honor something. You praise something. You extol. You lift something up. Because it's in us. It could be a car. Oh, look at that car. Oh my gosh. Because it's in us. Movies, certain movies. I was at a movie not too long ago. The movie was over. People were clapping because they thought it was good. Not that it's a movie screen. The actors are acting. They can't hear you, but the people were clapping. It's in us to celebrate. God is saying, have you celebrated me here on earth? We're looking for stuff to celebrate. But God is saying, have you celebrated me? Have you lifted up my name? And that word glorify means to make known. Have you made my name known here on earth? Have you celebrated me? Have you honored me? She's asking a question. An easy one. Sports. We celebrate teams. We're there. Past summer, last year, we went to, where we go? Okay, all right. We went to Boston, and we called a Patriots game, all right? Preseason Patriots game. Woo! See, we it's in us to celebrate. We're there celebrating. Then I went to a Dodger game last year, too, and they beat the Giants. Yeah, way to go. And I take it a little bit deeper. And then Tracy and I, we got invited to Dodger Stadium a couple of weeks ago to the Lexus Club, Dodger Dugout Lexus Club luncheon with some other community leaders. And you go down the stairs. They got gold and silver bats and whoo. Dodger Stadium, and you walk out and you're right behind home plate, and you all don't know this, but I was a really, you know, a top prospect baseball player when I was in high school. Every time I tell the story, it gets bigger and bigger, right? Jay, I got some athletes in here. You already know the story. As we get older, the story gets taller and taller, boy. Big C, you know too, right? It gets taller and taller. But one of my dreams as a kid was to play for the Dodgers. And old school would remember Davey Lopes. I played second base, so I wanted to be the next Davey Lopes. So to have the opportunity to go to Dodger Stadium and then go inside, golden gloves, silver bats. And I guess they were having a meeting in a room, so they had somebody. You couldn't go down that hallway, but you could look and you could see, man, Jackie Robinson and all this other kind of, man, we are built to praise and worship stuff. It should be God, but it's stuff. Okay, let's go here. How about the last concert you've been to? Right? The last concert, I took Tracy out a couple years ago. We went to see Stephanie Mills because she's a big Stephanie Mills fan. All right. what's Stephanie Mills' song? Home, you put a rush on me, but I'd like to get to know you. I feel good all over. Yeah, I never knew love like, hey, trust me, when I was preparing for this, I got caught up. Okay? I got, not only that, because the whispers were there too. All right? So the whispers was there. And so I got caught up listening to Olivia. She's lost and turned out. She had Olivia, what, this day, got distracted on her way to grandmother's house. A wolf in sheep's clothing. And now she's lost and turned out. Oh, that was a song, boy. Woo, man, y'all sang that song. It's in us. It's in us to worship. He says, have you celebrated, have you worshiped, have you praised me here on earth? Because it's in us. We worship in something. We get excited about something. I love sports. I love concerts. I do. And I'm not telling you not to. All I'm saying is make sure you give God his due here on earth. Go out and have your fun at the concerts and all that, and you know, lift your hands and do all that. But when you come to church and God is saying, where's mine at? And you're going, I said, I didn't see you celebrate me one day. I saw you celebrate. No, don't get it wrong. I saw you jumping up and down and shouting and screaming. But he says, Jesus, look at what he says. Look at verse 4. I have celebrated. I have honored you here on earth. Underline earth. That's the game changer. Oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to worship all day. God says, I want you worshiping now. I want you honoring. I want you celebrating. I want you to make my name known now. Get out of the way of yourself. Get you out of the picture and make my name known. And then he adds to it the second half of it. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Hey, do you even know what the work is? Have you even started? He said, I celebrated you and I finished the work. I'm ready to die. We were at the thing yesterday, Tommy. You know, the guy was, what his message was, you're not ready to die. Because you ain't done that. You ain't finished the work. You ain't started the work. You ain't started. You ain't ready to die. You're not ready. Have we even started the work? Do we even know what the work is? God says you can go and you can get into all this other stuff, and at the end of the day, it doesn't even count. It's all about making God's name great. We are built to worship. All right, so look, he says, verse 4, make note. Number 1, I have glorified you here on earth. And then I have finished. I have completed. So here's the prayer now. Make a note, those of you that take notes. Here's the prayer. Because we know that our purpose is to make disciples. Jesus has already told us that. The method is different. The details, God, show me how to make disciples and build your kingdom here on earth. Lord, show me how to complete the work, to start and complete the work that you gave me. The word gave in the Greek, to grant. It's like God gave you a grant. Those of us in the nonprofit world, somebody gave you a grant. The only question is how much? The word gave means a grant, a permit. You've been appointed. It's a reward. He's entrusted it to you, committed. He's delivered it to you. It means to have. It means a gift. God has given you something to complete. Two things when you leave out here, if you don't get anything else in verse 4. start celebrating God and making God's name known. And then ask God, what is my work that you've given me? Not that the world, not that the world want to give us promotions and all that. That's okay. But God said, no, I've given you a specific work to do and to complete. Ask God, God, what is that work? God, what is the work you've given me? I know I need to make disciples and build the kingdom. I know that. But how to? How do I do it? In my circle, in my sphere of influence, how do I, God, show me how to complete the work. I don't think any of us want to get before God and God says, man, I permitted you, I granted you, I gave it to you, and you didn't even touch it. You didn't touch the work that I gave. You did a lot, though. Don't get me wrong. You did a lot. You did some things, but the work I gave you, you didn't even touch it. Wow. Really, Lord? I thought I was doing something. No. Nope. Not what I gave you to do. It's just like an assignment. You know, you give your kids an assignment. What is it? Wash the dishes, vacuum the floor. And what do? They go and clean their room. Everybody did. I did some work. You didn't do what I asked you to do. It don't even count. Come on, parents. I need parents in here. Don't tell me you cleaned your room. I need the dishes done. I need the vacuum because the company's coming over. We can close the door to your room. Somebody say, man, we can close the door to your room. We can't have company coming over with dishes in the sink and the floor all jacked up. But I did something, but you didn't do what I gave you, what I asked you to do. Family, don't get it twisted. God has a specific assignment for all of us. Jesus said, I finished my assignment. God, what you gave me to do. God, what is our assignment? Even as a church. And those of us at Bible study, we're always praying for the church. Those of us that come, and I'm asking, you know, come at least once a month. I know it's hard to come every week, but at least once a month. But we have our study time and we have our prayer time. And one of the prayers, God, what have you gave us to do as a church? I don't want him to say, well, look, Pastor, I gave you a church and you guys did some things, but you didn't do what I told you to do. So we ask God, I ask God daily, but corporately we ask God every week on Wednesday nights. God, show us when you created South Bay Abundant Life Church, which is the people, not this building, but us. What's our assignment, God? What do you want us to do together? Who do you want us to reach? Is it this community? Is it beyond? God, show us and we will follow. We don't want to be out of position. We don't want to just do stuff and not what God's called us to do. Now, verse 5, let's finish with this and we'll pick up the rest next time. Verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with you. With your own self, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Make a note. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. So I had to write this down because it's a deep concept. And so remember, this is, and it changes the game when it's like the day before you die and you have a conversation with someone. And here's what he's saying. At this moment, because it's now, at this moment, Father, before I'm arrested and killed, celebrate me as you are celebrating yourself. While you are celebrating yourself alongside yourself, which I was doing with you even before the world began. Let me say it again. At this moment, right now, Lord, before I'm killed and arrested and killed, celebrate, honor, make my name known as you are celebrating, honoring, and making your name known while you are celebrating and honoring and making your name known. Alongside yourself, you're making and celebrating and making your name known. Remember, and I was with you before, and we were celebrating and honoring and making our name known even before the world began. You can't separate Jesus from God. You can't. You say, we've always been together. We before this whole thing, man, and just think about it. For Jesus Christ to give up his place in heaven, which he had before the world even began, to come down and save us. That's worth celebrating. That's worth honoring. That's worth making known. Make a note. You can't have God without Jesus Christ. That's what separates us from every other religion. We have a true relationship with Christ. You have all these awards, what they got, the Screen Actors, the Oscars, all that. People might get up and say they want to thank God. But we don't even know what God that is. Because Jesus is saying, you can't have God without having me. I was with God. We were together before. And he said it. He made it clear in, what was that? John 15:23, make a note. He says, he that hateth me hates my Father also, because we're inseparable. Oh, I'm cool with God. I just don't love Jesus. He's all divisive. I don't get into that Jesus stuff, but I'm cool with God. Jesus said, no, it don't work like that. Don't let the world fool you. You can't have God without Jesus. You can't have Jesus without God. Make a note, write it down, and meditate on that. If you hate Jesus, you hate God. That's a game changer. That's why we're going to be persecuted. That's why we're going to have tribulation for his name's sake. Because nobody wants to hear that, especially these days. They're intertwined. And I had some more things to say, but we're going to have to catch up on them next time. Let's just have a few minutes of prayer, then we'll dismiss. If you would, just bow your heads and maybe just pray for the person that's maybe next to you or in front of you or behind you. They don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe they don't know. They might know of, but they, Pastor, I don't really know Christ. I know of, but I'm not sure if I know God. That's you, then you can be sure this morning. We don't have to guess. The word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For by grace are we saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to get back on track. I need to rededicate my life. I know God. I love God. But I haven't been living like I've been trusting him. When the question was asked, do you trust me now? I knew I needed to get my life back on track with God. So first, let me pray. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ. I've never invited Jesus Christ into my heart. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Pastor, I want to get saved this morning. I want to get rescued. Maybe you're here and say, Pastor, I need to get back on track. I need to rededicate my life. I haven't been trusting God. I've been trying to do it on my own. God said he'll never leave us alone. Even when it feels like we're alone and everybody else is scattered. And I've been trying to do it on my own. And I've been blaming people, but I realize I need to trust God. It's on me. If that's you and you want to rededicate your life this morning, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I've been visiting and looking for a church home and I just need a place where I can praise, worship. learn about God, study the word with no games, no tricks, no gimmicks, no hidden agendas. I just want to come and fellowship with the people of God and learn about God. If that's you and you don't have a church home and you want to join our family this morning, elevate your hand. Lord, how we love you, because there's none like you and there's nothing too hard for you. How you've challenged us this morning. You challenged us this morning to trust you, to glorify you, to celebrate, to make your name known, and to start and finish the assignment that you gave us collectively and individually. Oh, we love you for that, Lord. We love you for your word being alive and living and breathing and sharper than a two-edged sword, challenging us and convicting us. Thank you, Lord. We celebrate you. We honor you. We bless you. In the midst of you blessing us, Lord, we bless you. And we lift your name up and we make it known. Give us the strength and the courage, knowing that you've overcome the world, to get through the tribulations, the pressures, and the oppression and the anguish, to have peace in and with you, to walk with you daily, to trust you now at this moment and beyond. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand to your feet. Amen. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Give someone a hug and you are dismissed.